These two pairs of boots, which were placed, according to the Persian's papers, just between the set-piece and the scene from the Guadalhorce, on the spot where Joseph Bouquet was found hanging, were never discovered. They must have been taken by some stage carpenter or door shutter. He crawled a little farther on his knees, then turned right round and said, "I'm going to hang by my hands from the edge of the stone and let myself drop into his house. You must do exactly the same. Do not be afraid. I will catch you in my arms." Raoul soon heard a dull sound, evidently produced by the fall of the Persian, and then dropped down. He felt himself clasped in the Persian's arms. "Hush," said the Persian. And they stood motionless, listening. The darkness was thick around them, the silence heavy and terrible. Then the Persian began to make play with the dark lantern again, turning the rays over their heads, looking for the hole through which they had come and failing to find it. "Oh," he said, "the stone has closed of itself." And the light of the lantern swept down the wall and over the floor. The Persian stooped and picked up something, a sort of cord, which he examined for a second and flung away with horror. "The Punjab lasso," he muttered. "What is it?" asked Raoul. The Persian shivered. It might very well be the rope by which the man was hanged, and which was looked for so long. And, suddenly seized with fresh anxiety, he moved the little red disc of his lantern over the walls. In this way, he lit up a curious thing. The trunk of a tree, which seemed still quite alive with its leaves, and the branches of that tree ran right up the walls and disappeared in the ceiling. Because of the smallness of the luminous disc, it was difficult at first to make out the appearance of things. They saw a corner of a branch, and a leaf, and another leaf, and next to it nothing at all, nothing but the ray of light that seemed to reflect itself. Raoul passed his hand over that nothing, over that reflection. "Hello," he said. "The wall is a looking-glass." "Yes, a looking-glass," said the Persian, in a tone of deep emotion. And passing the hand that held the pistol over his moist forehead, he added, "We have dropped into the torture chamber." What the Persian knew of this torture chamber, and what there befell him and his companion, shall be told in his own words, as set down in a manuscript which he left behind him, and which I copy verbatim.